could see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going just by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this show called the Watchman for Jesus program. And welcome. Also, nights 8 to 9, we have Bible study. I do. And you're welcome to join in 8 to 9. Tonight, I'm going to go ahead and continue on. It probably won't be a lot of people visiting tonight. I don't know. But I'm going to do it anyway. Tonight, Bible study 8 to 9, hopefully part 3 of proving that Jesus is God incarnated human flesh. That seems to be a big issue today of people not proving it. So if they don't believe in Jesus, why prove it? Why care? You don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in God, so what difference does it make? Why is there such an agenda to prove that Jesus is not God? Well, you don't believe in Jesus anyway, so why even, you don't believe in God, so why even prove, why even mess with it? They catch themselves in this trap and don't realize it. Atheists. Anti-God. Well, how can you be anti something you don't even believe in? How's that work? If you don't believe it, God exists, and how can you be anti something you don't think exists in the first place? Why even form organizations, groups, lectures, when you don't believe in something, it doesn't exist in your mind. So why waste your time with it? Because it's got power. That's why, because it does exist. God is not an it. God is a he. God is everything that keeps you together. Literally. I don't think people realize how close God is to mankind, because your molecules and your quarks, your atoms, are held together by His Holy Spirit. He can create. Well, if He can create, it means He can uncreate anytime He wants to. Y'all ever think about that? Anytime. He can just make it all just go away. It's not like He created the heavens and the earth and animals and mankind and little old fishies. Well, I've created it, but I can't do anything with it now. Just let it go, let it ride. I've got it and I'm stuck with it. No. He could wipe it clean like a clean board. Start with another piece of chalk. Start all over again. From the beginning if He wanted to. Our minds, our finite minds, cannot comprehend this power. We think we can, but we can't. That's why He had the Bible brought to us. That's why Satan is trying to counterfeit the Bible, King James Bible. You recall the Dark Ages? Why do you think they called it the Dark Ages? Why did they exist, the Dark Ages? Because God's true word was hidden, taken away. The only word they had was the corrupted Vatican's Latin version of it, that they only knew Latin, like people today would say, well, you got to read the Hebrew. Really? 7 billion people have to learn Hebrew? Well, if that's the case, I'm just going to quit broadcasting and take up a side business of Pilsner Hebrew videotapes and so forth, and audio tapes, and just start selling them then. Let me know when it starts, and I'll buy stock in Pilsner or whatever. Well, when Jesus Christ comes back in the millennium, there won't be some Pilsner, whatever it is. Supernaturally, if He changed the languages of individuals in their voice box, supernaturally affecting their molecules, quarks, and atoms that made them be able to speak their same language, because they all spoke the same language in Tower of Babel. The whole earth spoke the same language. Otherwise, He wouldn't have to change it, you see. So, that's a clue. So, supernaturally, He caused the languages to change. Just like that. Poof. Now, of course, because we follow Disney and so-called magicians who sign their blood over to Satan to give the powers they have. Oh, yeah. Copperfield, all those guys. There's nothing to what they do. But the only catch is you got to sign your soul over the devil. The demonic entities is what gives them their power. You take away the demonic entities, you take away their magic. But their soul was taken a long time ago. That's how it really works. The individual doesn't have the power. You think Moses, for example, had the power to open up the Red Sea? No. Supernatural. In this way, God worked through Moses because he's a righteous man. Did not, when Moses was approaching the Pharaoh, let my people go, the mystics or the magi or whatever they were, the magicians of his period, Pharaoh's period, threw down their staff and became snakes. They changed the molecules. The DNA changed. But Moses threw his down, and through the power of God, his gobbled up the others. It's in the Bible. God's power is more stronger than Satan could ever imagine. Satan's a deceiver, copier. But they can still change DNA to a certain extent. You see, it's all there. It's all about the supernatural. The supernatural, and here's the point, is humankind cannot imagine it. We cannot imagine the supernatural. Our minds, our finite minds, our physical minds, doesn't have the dimensional capacity to understand. Our capacity is not there. An earthworm can't drive a car. It's a living thing, but it can't drive a car. Can neither can a monkey drive a car. That sounds ridiculous, don't it? But still a living thing comes close to mankind. But they don't have the dimensional capacity to understand how to build a rocket. They may sit there and be an experimental animal for one, but that's about it. Peel a banana, not a problem. It's dimensional capacity. Well, we as mankind do not have the dimensional capacity to comprehend the vastness of the supernatural. It's impossible. So the Bible breaks that barrier and it tries to explain it to us in a way we can understand. And even that's difficult. Only through the Holy Spirit can you really get the details of the supernatural through the Bible. The basics is Jesus saves. Second, Jesus is coming back. Third, he's going to reign forever. So all the rest of it is icing on the cake. Repentance is necessary. It's in the Bible. Now there are people like Ellen G. White, Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, Muhammad, who actually worked for the Vatican, by the way, and the Vatican write their own Bibles. Well, you can do that. Even Doug Dynasty, those pagans, they're going to write a Bible too. They can't do that. They're going to write one, well, 24 hours would be this year. Now it would be next year right now. Doug Dynasty is going to write their own Bible. They can't do that. That means immediately they're not Christian. No way possible. No way. Osteen, Oprah, Copeland, Joyce Myers, they're all Eastern stars. You can't be a Freemason and be a Christian at the same time. Now you can go to the church, but you're under a cloud because you've taken a blood oath to Satan. Have your tongue torn out by the roots, have your belly slayed open, throat cut, all kinds of nasty stuff they say in the blood oaths. I got them word for word. Three of those anyway, first, second, third degree. I don't see how a Christian in his own mind, if he calls himself one, can say those oaths, even the first one, at the apprentice, and say he's a Christian. How's that work? And doing the good deeds don't define it for you by no stretch of the imagination. But that's how they do it. The good deeds covers up the conviction they get when they say those horrific, awful blood oaths that they take in the Freemasonry. Doing the good deeds is like, well, I said an ugly oath, but I did some good deeds, so that balances it out. Well, no, it don't. It makes it worse. It makes it worse. Good deeds are as filthy as rags, so saith Isaiah. As the Holy Spirit had him to write, the filthy rags are good deeds because they're done to cover the evil. That does not make them good deeds any longer. It dirties them like a dirty dish rag. There's no way around it. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then I'm going to get down to business here. I always like to hit the ground running, like I say I do. Socks and all. Lord, we thank you today. Father, we come together. Father, we pray. Father, forgive me of my sins, that I may, Father, receive the Holy Spirit to talk. Father, and be a watchman. Father, I lack patience, and I call upon you to give me the patience I need for day to day. Father, to give me wisdom, discernment, that I, Father, can teach, learn, and pass on, Lord. Father, I lack many things. I need that help, for I can't do it myself. Lord, listen to the prayers today of those praying, of those listening today. Father, hear their prayers. Prayers for their loved ones. Prayers for their family members. For healing. For protection. The times they try to follow the word, that, Lord, they get disrupted, interruptions. But, Father, to turn those interruptions around, that a witness can be made to the Lord Jesus Christ, to those that are interrupting. Father, some of them don't even know that they're involved. But, Father, to reverse it and to take these pagan holidays, Lord, and turn them around that they'd be in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ to witness to others. Father, we pray for the return of Jesus Christ to this planet. Father, we know a lot's got to take place before then, but Lord, the only one, Father, we know is going to solve this is Jesus Christ himself. That no man, no fallen angel, no supernatural being of any kind, but Jesus alone. Father, we pray for the discernment and wisdom in our Bible studies. We pray, Lord, you give us that insight to be able to read your word and understand it. Open our minds and our hearts. We may see the truth. Give us the opportunities, Lord, to be able to express that truth and lead to others in that great commission. We call upon you, Lord, this holiday season, to call it, that, Lord, that you set up divine appointments, Lord, for those that contemplate that suicide. That, Lord, we know it's rampant these days. We know, Father, the technology, the supernatural influence is causing a lot of this pain and a lot of this death. The Lord, to turn it around and use it for an awakening. To lead others to the truth and breakthroughs, Lord, that for many to become born again. To wake these churches up. To bring the awareness of the false Bibles, the counterfeits. Father, for the courage to come out of the churches and speak the truth. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I want to talk today a little bit more about what I talked about yesterday, but some more detail. About the real news, but the techniques and methodology that the Illuminati's been using against us and are using now. But before I go there, a little story. You know, in Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park, you got bighorn sheep. And the park will allow visitors to approach them from below and take close-up photos, I understand. But what you don't want to do is get above them or the entire herd will run away. See, the bighorn's escape route from predators is always up, upward direction. On level ground, you have a bobcat or a cougar can easily overtake the wild sheep, but scrambling up the shoulder, the boulder-strewn slope, the bighorns will get away every time. Big cat can't do it. Little cat can't do it. It's once said that no matter what danger you face from trouble or temptation, don't let it get it between you and God, no matter what it is. As born-again Christians, not to be confused with Christianity, there's a difference. Christianity involves 37,000 different sects, and each one's got some kind of different twist to the Scripture. 37,000 in Christianity. Somebody's got to be wrong in our 37,000 different doctrines. Even among them, say the Baptists, for example, they got different doctrine. Methodists, the watered down version of Roman Catholicism. Presbyterian, they're heavily involved in at the highest level of the Illuminati. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, everybody's attached to some religion. Why? Religion didn't die on the cross. Jesus did. Religion wasn't resurrected. Jesus was. Religion corrupts the Bible. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, God, all three of the same, inspired men who were righteous to write as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It ended. It ended at John of Patmos. No more inspiration. No more books. No more talking God to man about the end times events. It ended with revelation of John. And to seal it, the Old Testament of Isaiah, Daniel, you have to read, be able to read Isaiah and Daniel to understand also the book of Revelation. To understand the book of Revelation, you got to be able to read the Old Testament prophecies. It's all one book. You got those that say the Torah is. Well, the Torah is only partially written. They're not talking about the Revelation, but end times events. Denies Jesus. One thing they forget, the Torah is written by man too. Told some folks that, I think it made them mad. Said, so you don't believe in books written by man, huh? Where in Dickens do you think the Torah came from, sucker? Tell me that now. Oops. Well, Torah was God dictating to Moses. And you can't get more direct than that. The rest of Torah is nothing but history and stuff that's not, doesn't matter. Not even important. Then comes Jesus, because through the Torah of the Old Testament, you have prophecies of the coming Messiah. Well, if all you read is the Torah, you're never going to find out who the Messiah is. They reject Jesus anyway. Big mistake. They rejected the gospel during the time of Jacob. They rejected the Messiah when he came to Jerusalem. And Jesus predicted 70 AD, every stone will be taken down. And it was. When they rejected Jesus during his time, died, resurrected, that ended the 69th week. Well, the 70th week of Daniel was stopped. All they had to do was accept Jesus. Man, we'd be in the millennium right now. Did you all think about that? They rejected Jesus, which God knew was going to happen. 70th week of Daniel was stopped. Didn't happen yet. The 70th week of Daniel was judgment. That's yet to happen. The 7 years is yet to happen. First seal hasn't been broken yet. Family, if you're listening to Carl Gallup and P.P. Simmons, man, you better turn off your radio. Because they're full of baloney. They got more baloney going on than Oscar Myers in a warehouse. It's all garbage. We're not even the first seal yet. I wouldn't say we're close because of the size of the time. But then again, World War I, World War II, other periods were always getting close. Certain things had to happen. People were still righteous. You still had righteous people. But we're definitely, as the news I'm going to talk about today, definitely coming very close to the Sodom and Gomorrah stage. Not yet. But we sure are close. Closer than ever. Those sheep go upward. Make sure there's nothing between you and the top of the hill. As a born-again Christian, not to be confused with Christianity, your escape route is always upward toward the Lord, never downward into sin or self-pity. When you go to the Psalms, the words there reminds you how to keep difficulty on the downhill side. Sometimes it's not easy to do. In Psalms 5:3, written by David. Now, he's a rascal too, you know. But God forgave him. He did what he had to do. He made some mistakes. Solomon did too. David, Moses. Noah got drunk. It's not an excuse for us of us to do what we do, but you see, they weren't all perfect. Psalms 5:3, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And David also describes how God answered his prayer for help in 1833. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, setteth me upon my high places. Psalms 18, verse 33, that is. So, use the example of the bighorn sheep and the words of the psalmist teach us to keep spiritual danger on the downhill side. And keep a wide open upward path between yourselves and God always. Oatman, a theologian, said, and I quote, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Look at higher ground, not the low ground. They want you to look at lower ground so they can sell something. They want you to have fear so they got control of you. I say to heck with fear. And the part of root of fear is death. Everybody's afraid to die. Because they don't know where their soul is going to go inside. If you know where your soul is going, no need to be afraid of death. If you're always afraid of death, you're afraid of life. Always. Well, they went to extreme, say the least, extreme measures to make sure you're under control as a people. They went through extreme measures to make sure that you're afraid as a people. Even right down to individual, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the secret societies, they all work together. You notice a lot of, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, do correct me. But I tend to, in the times I've been going to church, I hardly ever go now anymore because I can't find one. But nevertheless, they seldom talk about the millennium. Every now and then they'll talk about the book of Revelation. But they just dabble with it. But they don't talk about the millennium, the hope of what's to come. They don't have balanced messages. They talk about fire and brimstone, death, hell, and sin. Or they talk about just all the goody parts of it. They don't combine it to give it a balanced message. They go one extreme or the other. What's wrong with a balanced message? Something's a little bit awkward going on here these days in the churches. Kind of like they're controlled. Well, they are. Actually, they're controlled through the 501c3 churches, tax-exempt status. You say, well, okay, what does that mean? Well, they can file a Form 99 and have tax-exempt, but a 501c3, I think, gives them more benefits or something for tax-exempt or whatever, but that's not the point. Point is, when they're forced to do a 501c3, the IRS sends them a very threatening letter. To do as they're told to do. Use this Bible, don't use that one. Here's what you're going to preach, here's what you're not going to preach about. And they got the monitors, called Freemasons, sitting on the church service to make sure the pastor follows what he's supposed to. All this is done under your noses, you don't even know it. If the preacher sort of starts teaching the truth, talking about fornication and talking about lying and cheating and adultery and all that. They will be approached by a Freemason and warned. I know that's happened already in a couple of churches I went to. The pastor told me about it. So I'm not making this up. That's how it really works behind the scenes. And a preacher just sit there, nod the head up and down like a water duck. Yep, yep, as a good lesson. Now let's go to a buffet. Okay. And do it next Sunday. Can't wait till Christmas. Can't wait to, you know, the one time, two times a year, Easter. Some people don't go to church but twice a year. Of course, now I understand why, but because the churches aren't preaching the truth. They just lukewarm, watered-down sermons. Non-threatening. Politically correct. They belong to the National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches. They've got Christian yoga, for goodness sakes. They got Christian comedians that come around, spirit-filled comedians. I don't see nothing funny about it. Special speakers that come around the churches. I was invited to one. I said, I don't, they come there. Tommy's real good. I said, well, I don't care how good he is. He's funny. I said, well, yeah, but Jesus died on the cross and rise again. That's not funny. I don't see nothing funny about it. Clean jokes, any jokes? No, there's no joke about it. Serious, you see. So what have they done over the years? Over the generations, actually. How they control mankind. Now, some of you, my regular listeners, you're going to hear some of the same things today, and you're going to hear things that are not the same. I have a mixture, always. I like to lay things in sequential, chronological order to show how they fit. If I don't, for someone new, they get a little confused, and understandably so. Besides, it helps me explain it. They use what's called the Hegelian dialectic. This is very important to understand. It's a strategy that they're masters at, that controls this world. So in essence, the Hegelian dialectic, the problem, reaction, and pre-written solution, is simply telling you they plan the history, make it work, and then lie about it later. That's the condition of our world today. Going back to the pharaohs. You understand this? Because the pharaohs of ancient Egypt are the offspring, are descendants of the royal bloodline families you have today in England. And your presidents. And the hierarchy of every name, right down to Pocahontas, right down to Charles Maine, right down to Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, King John, family, they're all in the same bloodline. Do you understand this? Romney, Romney, Kerry, Bush, Cheney, family, they're all the same bloodline, family. And I'm not talking about where we're all, you know, Adam and Eve kind of connecting. No, I'm talking about, no. They don't marry outside their family bloodline. And they're all connected to Queen Elizabeth, Merovingian bloodline, and Carolingian bloodline. And I'm not going to that David Icke, reptilian, lizard walkers kind of nonsense, because he throws that in to make it unbelievable. Why he teaches about the truth, he also throws that in as an extra measure to make sure it's unbelievable. That's how these pagans do it. David Icke, Jordan Maxwell, these guys, full of baloney. They tell you the truth and then convolute it with wild stories so it convolutes the truth. That's how they do it. We're not talking reptilian nonsense. We're talking fallen angels, yeah. And they have a different bloodline of copper-based DNA, whereas humans are carbon-based DNA. It's a different DNA because the fallen angels take on a physical form by alchemy. I'm not going to go into that right now, but that's how it really works. You can even name them, Saint Germain, El Moria, Sananda, Hilarion. They get these stupid names of ascended masters to hide the real names of Aziel, Raziel, Samyaza, and other fallen angels of their real names. There's 66 of them, to be exact. Of watchers that were corrupted by the lust of daughters of man after the flood. After. The supernatural is hard for our minds to conceive. How they control mankind is through Hegelian dialectic. This is their main method. One of the most important ones. So today it's not about brown or choking or can't breathe, hands up, and all this notions and silly things. Bundy Ranch and Patriots against Patriots and all that stuff. All that's distraction and keeping people busy and controlling folks. That's all that is. To keep you all busy from figuring out how it's really being dealt you, Hegelian dialectic. For example, when the elite want to move something fast, they create a problem. They can do it instantly, or they have planned a generation ahead. They keep it on record. It passes as a family tradition, so to speak. They train their little pagan Illuminati elite from the time they're 5 years old and younger. They're instructing by the time they're 12. They teach them human sacrifice at a young age. They find out which ones are squeamish and which ones are not. Those that are disabled, they kill because of inbred marriage and type things. What goes on behind the scenes is unbelievable. The kidnapped children that they maintain, some that's never been born, some have been born in captivity, will never see the light of day, or used like human guinea pigs. They will sacrifice younger children in front of their children to show them how it's done, to find out which one's squeamish. Family, people can't imagine the evil going on behind the scenes. What's my point? Point is, those who don't think that Jesus won't bring judgment upon this earth, man, you're living in la-la land. All this going on behind the scenes that people don't see, God sees it. And they will not hide. There's nowhere they can go. Not even one inch above ground or below ground. Those who go below ground to try to hide, that will become their grave. There's nowhere that these evil ones can go that God won't find them. Because he already knows where they're going to head to before they even know they're building it. Nowhere they can hide. Because he on high is going to come back again. And boy, let me tell you, he's going to clean house in a way that they can't even imagine themselves. But the great problems to control mankind for the time being, they wait for it to create the inevitable mess that they've set up. An organized mess, you might say. Then they walk in with a predetermined answer, like the heroes. It's always that way. Almost anything that happens in a crisis follows the same pattern. People waiting for the refinance of the world markets. It's coming eventually. The Iraqi dinar thing going on and all this stuff. And they are going to arrest members of Illuminati. Yeah. The cabal. Fulford. He works for the Rockefellers. He's a fraud. Well, they got the Grand Dragon, White Dragon, Illuminati, Ninja Killer or something, whatever, nonsense, that's going to take over the bad guys and arrest them all. Now, I can talk about the problems, but I need to give you specifics is what I was headed toward in the first place. Laying the groundwork to show you how they really pull it off. Take, for example, the 2008 financial crisis. We'll go there. The elite took away a lot of the regulations that were enacted during the Great Depression, which they set up beginning in 1913. It was planned in 1910, Jekyll Island. Woodrow Wilson was duped by Mandel House, his alter ego, by a Satanist by the name of Mandel House, controlled Woodrow Wilson. In the same fashion that Adam Weishaupt, who wrote this World Revolutionary Plan, 1782, well, actually made it first 1776, had duped and controlled Thomas Jefferson, who protected this Jesuit and Satanist Adam Weishaupt. Well, Mandel House controlled Woodrow Wilson. He pushed through the Federal Reserve Act, 1913, all set up to 1910, 1912. You know, the Astor family was going to put a torpedo it. The Astors are Illuminati. And they were going to torpedo this plan for whatever reason. Did you know that the Astors were aboard the Titanic? Well, actually, it's the Olympic. That's another story. They were almost no more after the Titanic went down, by the way. So, during the Great Depression, when FDR was the one that took us off the gold standard, War Powers Act, National Defense Authorization Act, sound familiar? Yeah, ought to. He was a rascal, that guy was. What a liar and a stinker FDR was. He's one of the worst presidents we've ever had, besides Clinton and Bush and Reagan, Nixon, Carter, Obama, the whole lot of them. Every single one. After all, they're all family members. Look it up right now while I'm talking. Burke Peerage. Several others confirmed what I'm telling you about their bloodline. But anyway, what they did was they lowered the lending rates, if I understand it correctly, and it sparked a boom. Well, they created all these fraudulent funding vehicles that they come up with and made billions on the way up. They knew all along it was going to blow up. Waited for the music to stop. For America and Congress to panic. Then, they had the, we'll call it bravado, to walk into Congress with a $700 billion ransom note and sign it, or there was going to be martial law in America. Whoa. So that financial coup d'etat was carefully planned, executed, operation by the elite. All the right pieces were in place to pull it off in less than a week. How to get people to buy off on the Great Depression is already planned. They planned a military takeover of the U.S. government by 1943. A dictatorship by the late 30s. It's all planned from 1913. 7 years later, 1913 to 1920. In 1921, J.P. Morgan orchestrated a depression. Scared the pants out of America then. You don't read about that much, but it's there. He created the depression. Cause what? Fear. And then he comes in with like a man on a white horse. All saved the day. Flooded the market with money. Drove the stock market up. what people do. They jumped on the bandwagon, started making money, lots of money. Where do you think happy days come again? Happy days are here again. Happy days for as opposed to what? Well, the crash of 1921. Between 1917 and 1921, we were rebuilding then. Excuse me, 1918, 1921. In 1921, the Rockefellers set up the Council of Foreign Relations. Simultaneously, the Rothschilds set up the Royal Institute of National Affairs. The two Illuminatis were set up in 1921, and so was Tavistock, Behavior Think Tank. It all started in 1921. See how Satan works? Right on schedule. For now. So when J.P. Morgan flooded the market, stocks went up, everybody was making money, smoking cigars like Billy Bob Clinton. Clapper girls, music, Charleston. Keep people busy, tied up, distracted. Spending their money, man. Yeah. Mafia. Dillinger. Capone. Hoover. FBI. In bed with the mafia. So's the Vatican. Having a good old time. 1927. Federal Reserve plans to crash. Where everybody else is having a good old time. 1928. IG Farben, a chemical cartel company, funded through Wall Street, 100%. Funded fully Adolf Hitler. Uh-huh. Yeah. So by 1929, it's all ready to go. Bonus Army marches on D.C. We want our money. Because 1929 crashed. All they did was call in the loans. That's all they had to do. Call in the loans. Everybody with cars, houses, fun times, cigars, whatever, had to sell their stocks all at one time because they were called in the loans. It's just a matter of making phone calls. That's all it was, really. Stock market crashed. Jobs, you got the word there. So by 1929, 1930, we're in a hurt locker. Bonus Army marches on D.C. We want our bonuses. 1932, Major General Smedley D. Butler talks to the veterans because they're being messed over by the government. But you know why? I dig deep in this research. You know why the government messed over the veterans in 1931, 32, and 33. You know why? I'll tell you why. To tick them off, make them mad. And it worked. It worked. They marched on D.C. in the thousands. Because they're going to use them for a military coup d'etat. With Major General Smedley D. Butler is leading the charge. He's approached with $60,000 in cash and a promise of military equipment and everything to outfit a force of 500,000 men. Made up of the Bonus Army and World War I veterans that needed money, jobs. Unhappy with the government. And they trusted Butler. Wrong man to pick for the elite to trust him, but the right man to pick for God to trust him, because when they approached him, the elite approached him to lead a revolt against FDR in 1933-34. He was a patriot. He was a staunch U.S. Marine general, a real one, not the fake they got today. The Joint Chief of Staff for nothing but Freemasons and Knights of Malta, and they're traitors to the country and to God and everything else. But you had real patriots back then. You had real men of God back then, not the God today. Today is worthless. Totally worthless. Back then it was real. But you still had the Council of Foreign Relations on the side, so those like Patton and Puller and Butler, they weren't politicians. They were real soldiers, not fake ones. Well, he let them on for about a year. He did his own investigation. He wanted to find out exactly who was behind it. And by 1934, oops, he blew the whistle to Congress about a military takeover of the U.S. government. Going to use a 500,000 men, World War veterans, against the government. I'm not going to play the videos and the audios and the testimony right now. I need to move on. But I got audio, of actual audio, from the testimony of General Butler confirming this, what I'm telling you. That's what really happened. In the meantime, FDR, Churchill, the Japanese elite, working together, had already planned Pearl Harbor by 1932. Yep, you heard me correct. Even had a military exercise to see how close the ships could get, using our own ships to get close to Pearl Harbor. 1932, military exercise, you can find it. They knew Pearl Harbor by 1930. They knew World War II was also going to happen. It was all pre-planned by Gillian Dialectic. That was Pearl Harbor, a false flag. Lusitania, 1915, was a false flag by that murderous Churchill, who was a Knights of Malta. They on purpose set up the Lusitania by design, working with the Germans to justify going to war. Churchill, Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Queen Elizabeth II. They're all cousins and nieces, nephews. No better than Hatfield's McCoys. Matter of fact, Hatfield McCoys, I trust more than I would these elite Luciferians. Well, General Butler blew the whistle to Congress. They formed the Dirk Steen McCormick Commission and confirmed it. It's recorded. 1933, FDR takes us off the gold standard. Gold Confiscation Act. You sell it, you're going to jail. War Powers Act. Take control. I even got a quote from FDR, March 4th, 1939, confirming the military takeover of the U.S. government, confirming a dictatorship, and confirming he's going to, quote, infest America with all the aliens possible, declare martial law and dictatorship, unquote. FDR. So FDR knew about Butler and was waiting if Butler had taken the bait, which Butler didn't know at the time, was he was going to be set up, just like they did Komonov in 1917. They did that to Komonov, a Russian general, a war hero back in the Russians at World War I, Red Square. They were going to set up Butler at the time of planning, call him a traitor, a military dictatorship, and a takeover of the government. So by 1941, we're in the war, but not really, because it had been worked out between Churchill, Stalin, Hitler, and FDR. The Japanese elite had worked out a plan where six phases of the World War II would accumulate in the fifth phase, taken over by Germany, France, and Britain. In the sixth phase, Hitler was to cross the Atlantic into Canada, go halfway across, and cut south, cutting off Wisconsin, Minnesota, while the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor was to control the West Coast, and we'd had a military dictatorship in America as planned by FDR, working together. That's how they'd taken over. That's planned. It was planned. But as you know, it fell apart. Yamamoto, for whatever reason, stopped on the second or third attack. He said no. He backed off. Hitler didn't make it. Wasn't because of trying. It wasn't because Churchill was going to help him, actually. Hitler went on his own. The military takeover didn't happen either, as FDR had planned. They didn't get their dictatorship. It fell apart. You know, isn't God amazing? These people actually think they can outthink God. In every case they've tried, they've failed. All this has been based, I'm just barely touching the surface. Now you know why, before 1939, thereabouts, starting off with the black schools, then it moved into the white schools, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, like Heil Hitler's sign, the Bellamy salute. Yeah, that's how we used to do it in America. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, blah, 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 blah. By raising the right arm, palm down, and Heil Hitler's sign. That's how they used to do it. And then when the plan fell apart, oops, they changed and went from the right hand over the left breast, which is a second degree sign, Freemasons, of fidelity. Everything changed after 1940s. Because a plan, and they also, there's a plan, there's a map that you can find, was discovered that had the world in 10 unions by 1943. We were the North American Union. That's 1943. Their plans fell apart miserably. Their Hegelian dialectic didn't happen. So they had to go to the next alternative. Exalt communism as the next false enemy. After communism, when that didn't work in the 60s, go to the next one, which was Islam fundamentalism, that we set up in the 1980s in Kosovo, Afghanistan to Kosovo, to Bosnia, Croatia, Herzegovina. Family, it's all set up, everything. Sure tears the history books up, don't it? This is how it really, really operates. And family, I've just only scratched the surface. I've not even scratched the surface. If I was to go through the details, and I've done it before, it'd take me 2 hours to cover this. For me, it's quite amazing. I said, man, we're not taught nothing like this. But you think all that's amazing? Wait until they finally knock the legs out of the dollar. There's always a freedom of choice in any of these dialectics that the elite don't even want us to consider. They direct us in the direction they want us to go for now. And they don't want you thinking outside the box. It threatens their paradigm of power when you think outside the box. So they use school, entertainment, things such as that to keep you all busy. They use the Constitution, Republic and all that white, red, white, and blue stuff to keep us all tied up. They never meant for it to work, ever. This has got to be in place as a remedy. But to be undercut in every case. As they would take the high ground. For now. These collectivists want to abolish property rights, the American Revolution, Constitution, or about protecting property rights. Well, you don't own anything. We're corporations. We're individual companies. Each individual is a dummy corporation. You're bonded as a slave for $1 million the day you're born, since 1929, thereafter. Of course, now when people start telling you the same thing I'm telling you, they start adding into revolution again. See how they work it? Armed revolution never works. It never has in our history. They got this thing so complicated. As Woodrow Wilson, Mandela House discussed back in 1913. I'm not going to read you the quote, but there's a particular quote that talks about the social insurance and how this thing has been set up. And just it's amazing what they've done. Using Hegelian dialectic. And I'm going to get more detail now. So y'all buckle up. I'm just barely scratching. I'm going to start funneling it down to more detail. I'm just giving you an idea of what you're dealing with. But family, listen. Keep the high ground. Look up, because they are going to lose. Franklin Roosevelt, he actually revealed a lot about the banking establishment power of the United States government. He wrote in a special letter to a friend that you can read in his diary, the concept of central banking. He said, quote, "The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the larger centers has owned the government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson. And I'm not wholly accepting the administration of Woodrow Wilson. The country is going through a repetition of Jackson's fight with the Bank of the United States, only on a far bigger, broader basis. Now, you're going to have politicians coming up that's going to say, we're getting rid of the Federal Reserve. See, they've exposed the Federal Reserve, your so-called truth tellers. The Federal Reserve is a banking cartel, and it's evil, and it's all this. They want you to know. The dialectic is, we're going to solve it for you. Like Ron Paul, he's a liar. He's a Rosicrucian. He's nothing more than a fake politician. Absolutely. Every doggone one of them. So now they're going to say, we're going to get rid of the Federal Reserve. Yeah, to bring on the digital tattoo. You don't need the Federal Reserve once they get the tattoo put in your skin. They're not telling you that. The stuff things that thing does. I've traced the technology to 1971. But they're going to get rid of the Federal Reserve. I wouldn't celebrate right soon if I was you, because they're going to replace it with digital tattoo. Satan is prisoner of this world, but he ain't king. He's going down. He ain't going to higher ground. He'll never climb up the walls of the north. He's going straight to hell, along with those that follow him. All the elite that's not renounced their sins, renounced the blood oaths, there's nothing they can do but head straight down to hell. There's nothing they can do about it. Nothing. Except those who have the strength to pull out of it. Or they'll receive the wrath of man upon them and their own family. John Todd, JFK, Bill Cooper. But these people pulled away from the Illuminati roots and did the right thing. But this banking, to give you kind of a quick idea, I'm not a financial wizard by no stretch of anybody's imagination, but I kind of got an idea how this works, and I'm going to give you kind of a clue how they got this thing set up. For example, if you follow me here, I'll try to explain this. Let's say, for fun, that the U.S. government overdraws its checking account by $1,000. And you could say $1 million or whatever, but I'm going to make it easy for this old country boy to explain it. So they overdraw the checking account by $1,000, and they're going to pay on a study or a bridge or something in the projects or whatever about the sexual preference of a white rhino or whatever. It could be anything. So they got this sexual study, a bridge, something, whatever it is, on their project list. They've overdrawn the checking account by $1,000 to pay on the study. Well, when that happens, it's overdrawn, the Secretary of the Treasury will advise the federal government that the government's overdrawn again. Well, Secretary of the Treasury will then order Treasury to print $1,000 in government bonds. And here we go. So then the feds orders the Treasury to print $1,000 in Federal Reserve notes. So now the Fed pays, I don't know, 23 cents, 25 cents, something like that, to the Treasury for printing $1,000 in the Federal Reserve notes. Now what the Fed does, they swap the Federal Reserve notes, which cost them 23 cents or 25, whatever it is, let's say a quarter, for $1,000 of government bonds. They have a net profit of $999.77 if it's based on 23 cents. That's a heck of a profit, isn't it? When we swap the notes for the bonds. So the $1,000 of government bonds is then added to the national debt that must be paid by U.S. taxpayers. Them rascals, man. And by law, the Fed can swap the $1,000 of bonds for $1,000 U.S. currency, which by 1933 was counterfeit anyway. Take it off the gold standard. Didn't tell you that. So then the Feds loan the currency to a member bank, electronically, of course, today, at an interest rate determined by the Feds. So the $1,000 of currency is be still on deposit in the Fed's bank in New York. So, if the Feds uses a typical, I don't know, let's say like in the 1990s, something like 10% reserve required in their fractional banking scheme, it actually turns a $1,000 currency on deposit into $10,000 of loan capital. And then, if the Fed charges 3% simple interest on the $10,000 it loans to the member banks, they would, in effect, I guess, be earning 30% interest on $1,000 they set on reserve. What a scam! So, pretty much, simplify it, as Congress overspends, the Feds create funny money. Each dollar created generates tremendous profits for the Fed stockholders, for that cabal. So the American taxpayer, the goyim, that be us, now owes money it never saw, plus interest compounded on a daily basis, plus increased taxes, since you're a corporation as an individual, at a higher rate because of inflation, to pay for debt and interest. That's the best I can explain it. And this is how they keep us. So now who's going to go over that? When you got a weekend's trip planned or golf going on or you've got working so hard and everything else and take care of your business and your kids and all that. You don't have time for this. And they're counting on that. This is what's really going on in the background. See, God don't have a Federal Reserve. God don't have digital tattoos on the supernatural arm. God don't have money in his plan of the millennium. He's not going to come here with heavenly computers. You'll have no technology. You won't need it. Even 1990s, you had James Trafficant, the congressman, said on March 17th, 1993, Mr. Speaker, we're now in Chapter 11. See, Bill Clinton promised that he'd reduce the budget. He lied, man. He never reduced the budget. I got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 12 or 15 programs where he increased the spending. I got a list of them right here. School to work, information highway, NAFTA, environmental support. Whoa, he really increased that by $100 million. Montreal Protocol, Advanced Neutron Source, information highway, one-stop career shopping, $50 million to $250 million. No, it didn't reduce it. And goals 2000, $105 million was 1994 fiscal year budget. Fiscal year 95, increased it $700 million from $105 million the year before. He lied, as they all do. Now, that's simple of it. not even thinking about 1929, all the way up to 2014, the day you're born, the day your child is born, don't matter who it is after 1929, till now, who's ever born, gets a birth certificate. That birth certificate is bonded at birth, sent to the IMF under a $1 million security deposit. Yeah, you're really important there. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Their people started in 2010, started drawing off on that. So that $1 million the day you're born went to interest to pay off debt, all debts. So they didn't tell you about it. They estimated the typical baby boomer, the time they were born in 1952, considering interest, you're worth about $350 million individually. Held on an account with the IMF that they didn't tell you about to pay off your debts. Then people started learning in 2010 how to draw off on it. That's why they had to stop, slow down the process of drawing off on that account, held off in Switzerland, individually. There's an individual named Cain and his brother, Cain, he knew about how to draw off, and he's explaining it in lectures, how to submit the applications to the IRS and the Treasury and to work it out. It's working. Because, see, you're slaves. Always have been, but never told it. When FDR took us off the gold standard, effectively, your money was worthless. So you had no way really paying for your debt, your house, your car, whatever. So that's when they came up with this idea of social insurance that was discussed by Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson. That's the quote. That's how it worked out. All the way back, way before the Federal Reserve. It's called accepted for value. And they put a slow down and stop on that when your sovereigns were learning how to cash in on it. They had to put a stop to it. They have a remedy. I'm not going to explain that. That'll take up another hour. But all I'm trying to do is give you a picture of the Gillian dialectic and how they control us. How they try to keep the higher ground. Now, more detail here. Now, I'm going to go to news and show you the news here and how this works out. Now, for example, the Gillian dialectic process is the notion that conflict creates history. You create the conflict, history is created at the highest level. People still believe that the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand started World War I. No, it didn't. World War I was planned before 1871. World War II was planned before 1871. And World War III, yet to happen, was planned, oh yeah, before 1871 by Albert Pike. Each generation of family members were then set aside to make the plans necessary, the detailed plans, to format these wars that were planned before 1871. History was pre-planned all along, and they could also anticipate the number of casualties. So, Archduke Ferdinand, assassination, Pearl Harbor, 9-1-1, sinking of the Maine, firing on Fort Sumter, all these were nothing more than false flags and can be proven by the lying, murdering Jesuits, high-level Freemasons and Illuminati, all along. Now, the dialectic takes a trilateral kind of managed conflict process. I've already explained The thesis, the existing force, generates a counterforce, the antithesis. The counterforce. Got to have a counter to it. The conflict between the two results in the forming of a synthesis. And it starts all over again. What have they done that we think was just history? Well, one of them, some of these are going to shock you, I'm going to tell you, was the creation, the thesis, was, for example, Marxist Russia. The antithesis was Nazi Germany, by design. It didn't happen by itself. It was planned this way, which resulted in conflict of World War II. World War II was planned 1871. Now watch. I'm going to give you an example. Marxist Russia was actually set up in 1917 by the Bolshevik Revolution. Did you know? Were you aware that Wall Street funded the Bolshevik Revolution? We, working for the Vatican, for the murdering Jesuits, and Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. Did you know that we constructed and subsidized the Soviet Union 1920 to the present? Reagan lied when he said, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. After all, Reagan was a liar. He admitted he lied. The Iran-Contra affair, that was part of a Rex 84 invasion of the United States. I didn't tell you about that. He's an actor, for goodness sakes. So is Schwarzenegger. Whatever. And Ventura. They're all liars. And they're all actors. They're full of baloney. All of them. Wall Street funded the Bolshevik Revolution. To hide it, we sent 1,200 Marines to go against the Bolsheviks in a show of force and pull them back. Well, it really gets sticky. Before 1917, to get the Marxist Russia in place, to set up the World War II, they had to have World War I. That's where 1917 came in. But it's even more than that. In 1885, they started the marches against the Jews. They had to blame them. It was started before that. 1860s, 1870s, simultaneously, after Civil War, which was started by the Jesuits, confirmed by Lincoln, we focused on the Indians to move them out of their land, put them on reservations, and just kill them off. Well, at the same time, the Rothschilds had a contingent of French and businessmen to hit Japan to get rid of the samurai warrior in the feudal system, to set up Japan to take on Russia by 1904. So they started 1860s, 1870s, to industrialize Japan. To do that, they had to get rid of the feudal system. So they targeted the age-old traditions of samurai warriors, with technology that destroyed the samurai warriors and the feudal system. That's how they did it. And once they freed Japan from the feudal system, brought them up to the modern age of that time, by 1904, they're ready to go to war because they chewed their teeth on China. And then went to war with Russia. 1904, war between Russia and Japan. There's one little trick to it. The Rothschilds funded Japan, and the other side of the Rothschilds funded Russia in 1904. You see what happened? And then when it got time in a crucial period of the war, the Rothschild-funded group of Russia pulled their funding. Man, you can't fight a war without beans, band-aids, and bullets. call supply. They lost. 1904 brought linen in. 1904, 1917, then they moved in. We're setting up Bolshevik Revolution. And then with that Kromanov, that general. That's all how it worked out. But watch this. I just don't stop one place. Back up. 1860. The Romanov family in Russia. And Lincoln torpedoed the Rothschilds' plan at the Congress of Vienna. Boy, that ticked them off awful bad in 1860s, 1870s. Rothschild swore a blood vengeance against the Romanov family in Russia. Because the Russians sent their warships, and the Europeans didn't dare go against their warships. The Russian warships had tore them to pieces. The Tsar of Russia sent warships to Savannah, New York Harbor, and San Francisco to protect America from the Europeans. Remember, they had French on one side of the Civil War and Germans on the other. Rothschilds had designs. Congress of Vienna. It failed. Lincoln, greenbacks, pulling away from Jesuits, Freemasons assassinated Lincoln. 1860s. But before that, we're still dealing with the Marxist Russia. You're thinking, what? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not off Marxist Russia yet. Watch. 10 years before the Civil War, thereabouts, 1850s, 12 years, 1848 was Karl Marx. Johann Karl Marx, yes. He was a Christian, turned atheist, Satanist. Karl Marx, Mordecai. He wrote the Communist Manifesto, right? No, he didn't. History book says he did. History book's wrong. He's credited, him and Hengel, to write the Communist Manifesto. All your college professors at Harvard says Karl Marx wrote the manifesto, and they're liars. Because he plagiarized the manifesto. Who did he plagiarize it from? A work by Clinton Roosevelt, 1841. Clinton Roosevelt. Now, I'm going to close a gap with you. I'm going to close a circle with you here now. Clinton Roosevelt also plagiarized majority part of a document written by Adam Weishaupt on May the 1st, 1776. He called it The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Law. I've got a copy of that sucker, okay? I got a copy. 1841. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Clinton Roosevelt. Roosevelt. Oh, Roosevelt, yeah. Uh-huh. He was ancestral cousin to FDR. Evil stays in the family. 1 century before Pearl Harbor. So they take that document, The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Law, plagiarized from Adam Weishaupt's plan, May the 1st, 1776, carried down to Manzini, an Italian. Manzini was not Jew, by the way. If you find me a Manzini Jew, please let me know. I will not hold my breath. He's Italian. Ate a lot of spaghetti. And so what happened was, Clinton Roosevelt plagiarized. And then later, by 1848, passed it on to Karl Marx, who plagiarized and called it the Communist Manifesto. By 1850, before the Civil War even, Marxist Russia was being planned out. Take place after our Civil War. It was all pre-planned. Amazing, isn't it? That's just Marxist Russia that you can trace back to May the 1st, 1776. And that's why they call it May Day. Bingo. I'm not even talking about the dialectic. The antithesis was Nazi Germany. At the same time frame that Albert Pike was planning the three world wars, 1850s. 1850s. And Karl Marx had plagiarized a document called the Communist Manifesto. At the same time, the Illuminati signed Karl Ritter to write the antithesis of fascism, to go against Marxism. By the 1850s, 1860s, getting ready for the 20th century. Well, Karl Ritter kind of kicks up and dies. Frank Nietzsche takes over. He finishes up the Fascist Manifesto, the ideology, and also it morphs into Nazism, 1860s, 1870s. Now you know the rest of the story. So Marxist Russia comes from 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. Nazi Germany, conflict of World War II being set up by thesis antithesis, was 1933, Hitler's accession to power. We constructed, USA constructed and subsidized National Socialism. We, under direction of the Vatican, constructed and subsidized the Soviet Union, 1920 to present. The synthesis, post-World War II United Nations, stepped toward a new world order. World War II was established Israel as a fake Israel. The real Israel comes when Jesus Christ takes over. That's the real Israel. All you got today is a hexagram, Star of David, a witch sign. That's what that is. They've turned their back on God again. That's God's business, though, not ours. There's some serious things I'm saying today. But this is the truth. Since World War II, now you sort of got the idea of how the Hegelian dialectic works and has attributed itself to all the deaths of World War II, Korean War, to establish communism as the next enemy. Now you understand. And where the Council of Foreign Relations are murderers carried from generation of CFR members to next. Now, is it starting to make sense about how Satan actually operates in our government, in European government, in the world government that's hidden right now? So now you'll understand. In Chicago Tribune, December the 9th, 1950, the planned defeat in Korea, the planned defeat in Vietnam, you heard me right, the planned stalemate of World War II, bringing 10,000 Nazis to America under Operation Paperclip, including Adolf Hitler by 1945. He never died. They lied about it. Quote, in the Chicago Tribune, December the 9th, 1950, I quote, "The members of the Council on Foreign Relations should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war," that was World War II, "and the fresh blood of the present one," the Korean War, unquote. We even stopped Chiang Kai-shek from taking Red China. They were free Chinese. We stopped it with 7th Fleet. We blockaded Taiwan, Formosa. We used our own fleet against our own troops by blockading help to come over, thereby making sure the communists remained in power in Korea. And the planned defeat of Vietnam was to spending for the military-industrial complex, to put Agent Orange to give our troops cancer, the drugs that came from the opium in Vietnam that later was brought over from Afghanistan. This is what's really behind the scenes. All this is pre-planned by Hegelian dialectic and Luciferian world government that's hidden right now. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Council of Foreign Relations, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, United Nations, Gorbachev Foundation, all work together against the world and for their own self-serving Luciferian agenda. And you've got generals, you've got congressmen, you've got world leaders all working together. Well, for example, when you look at the flow chart of their organization, I see in front of me what I've collected in their flow chart that the CIA, America, FBI, which they're going to get rid of, by the way, AFBI guys, I promise you, they're going to eliminate the FBI once they have the North American Union. And you good guys out there, FBI, you better watch your back. Same thing with ATF. Y'all probably don't believe me right now, but I'm telling you, it's coming. The good guys are FBI, the good guys are ATF, the good guys are cops. You better watch your back. Your director, who's a Secret Service, who's a Knights of Malta or a Freemason, he will backstab you in a heartbeat. Well, under their organization, which is different layers of the onion, one layer don't know what the next one knows, CIA, FBI, NSA, KGB, Mossad, BND, which is Secret Service in Germany, the DGSC, Secret Service in France, British Intelligence, MI5, MI6, the SIS, the Communist Party, group members, high level, Interpol, Europol, drug cartels and their leaders, mafia, organized crime, FEMA, secret services of Pakistan, they all work together. I know for a fact, in late 80s, late 70s, when thereabouts, when Russia pulled out of Afghanistan, I know for a fact that the CIA, Turkish intelligence, Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, working together, moved 10,000 Mujahideen from Afghanistan when the Russians pulled out. They now moved the jihad to Bosnia and Croatia. We trained Milosevic, for goodness sakes, who's a Freemason, in the late 80s. In New York, getting ready for the assault, promised the Albanians Bali Kamtar to be completed, that Hitler started, and lied to the Albanians, lied to the Serbs. Set all that up. This is how they do Hegelian dialectic. If they make a mistake or something doesn't work out, they just adjust it. But the point was, all the intelligence agencies work together. They don't tell our troops that. Well, 1966, also know for a fact, the State Department made sure that government businesses continued in 1966 doing trade with the Soviet bloc countries. They even sent out a pamphlet to make sure that happened. You say, well, so what? Well, I'll tell you so what. Here's what so what. As a result, in 1966 of that initiative to make sure our industrial complex worked with the Soviet bloc countries that was helping the VC. One company, the government sent the direct, exact specifications for a glycerol factory to Russia. The glycerol factory they built in Russia in 1966-67 produced glycerol, which a derivative was a detonator and booby traps given to the VC, along with other equipment and stuff. We subsidized Nazi Germany. We subsidized the Russians and Viet Cong. We helped keep the communists in power in 1950. We go back to 1917, Wall Street family. This is a Luciferian agenda. Glycerol was used as a detonator for booby traps, which accounted for 50% of casualties of Vietnam was from booby traps. Agent Orange was not to clear the foliage. It was to cause cancer. The attack on the baby boomers began in 1945. I've done extreme research on this. I can't produce it. Now that is just barely scratching the surface of the Gillian dialectic, but I'm not done. I wanted to use this period to show you how it really works. Now, you see how it works? Now these things are going to make sense to you. Because this is kind of mind-boggling, I grant you. It is for me. Sure tears history all to pieces, don't it? What else did they do? Well, the two-party politics, for example, Australia. The thesis was the Australian Liberal Party. The antithesis to that was the Australian Labor Party. Or the U.S. Republican Party versus the U.S. Democrat Party. So you have a conflict of general election on the surface. Reality, they're working together. For us, it's the Council of Foreign Relations. They pretend. Like Kerry and Bush. Kerry and Bush are cousins, skull and bones members. Pretending to be against each other. What a lie. Like a reality show. To the American people. Same thing with Clinton. It's all baloney. Romney is also a cousin to Bush. He's another liar. What's the synthesis? Australia became a republic, so to speak, so that the new constitution permitted the usurpation of state sovereignty. National sovereignty was surrendered for Asian regionalization. New World Order. Even the Sydney News back in Australia, you had the NSW state government, and the Aborigine activists and Red Fern developers and financiers. They always create a dialectic. They brought Muslims to Sweden, Norway, set up a dialectic. Muslims to Canada, set up a dialectic. In America, it's a smorgasbord, man. You got whites, you got blacks, you got Hispanic, you got, oh my gosh. You just pick as a melting pot of conflict. You got divide the families, you got divide the militias, the military, divide the police, divide the parents and the children, divide the races, promote child euthanasia, divide the churches, destroy Christianity, bring up the North American Union. Man, the use of street gangs is a dialectic. Man, it's a smorgasbord, man, in America. You don't have that up in Scandinavia, know those places? So they got to import Muslims to create the dialectic. Now, do you see it? I've said this many times before, but really, look at it. Tell me, what Muslim, what Arab, in his right mind, from his, you know, being in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria, whatever, Turkey, don't matter, what would possess him to move all the way up to Norway, Sweden, and Finland? They don't have any camels up there, and the doggone sure don't have dates. Well, not the kind you eat off a tree anyway. So, family, why would an Arab want to move to Scandinavia, Finland, Sweden, and Norway, and Denmark? He didn't bump his head on a coconut tree. Why did he do that for? Because they were pushed up there to set up the world government, to cause the dialectic, that's why. God divided us to stay divided, but love each other, but stay divided. Satan's trying to bring us all together under a malevolent world government. And guess what, America? you got the pick of a multicultural center to create the new culture of interbred marriages and children, which they accomplished 2013, October issue of National Geographic, The Changing Face of America, they have accomplished their goal. That set off to be accomplished in 1425 A.D. And all through was to control us through the Hegelian dialectic. Now I'm going to give you a humdinger right here that's really going to hit home. I know Australia wouldn't hit home, but would the Australians, which is another colony of England, like America is, Israel and Canada. We're all colonies of England, by the way. That's fact. In the religious world of Papal Rome, this is going to hit home. Satan controls the globalist elite. They use a Hegelian dialectic to control us. To direct the religions, the thesis was created in 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea. It was called Roman Catholicism. You ever heard of it? Before that, before the 4th century, was the ancient mystery schools of religion. Zoroastrianism, Mithraism, Kabbalism, Shamanism, all that stuff. Ancient mystery schools of religion. When that wasn't working, Christians were being massacred. And the massacre of Christians was causing a conversion in the stands of those watching the slaughter of Christians. They were converting. We got to stop this. It ain't working. So they sent in Constantine to say, we got to create a religion for these Christians to control them. They created Christianity. The thesis was Roman Catholicism, Council of Nicaea. Once we get control of them, then we start killing them. It's called the Inquisition. Now you got it. So, in the meantime, Roman Catholicism was created to control Christians. Since you can't kill them off, we're going to create a religion for them. Now you know why they created Islam in the 6th century. To control the Arabs that didn't want to come over to Roman Catholicism. Watch this now. So they created Roman Catholicism. I am Christian, Constantine said. Oh, great. We don't have to get killed anymore. We want this Christianity. Well, they fell for it. Not all of them, but some did. Because some rejected Roman Catholicism. Huh? It's called the Inquisition. Yeah. Well, in the 16th century, to get those in Europe to move to the North American continent, white folk to move to the North American continent, from 1200 A.D. to around 1500 A.D., there was religious intolerance. Yeah, getting murdered is kind of a way to have intolerance, isn't it? 50 to 68 million people were murdered. 50 to 68 million. 50 to 68 million murdered by the Vatican between 1200 A.D. and 1800 A.D. Well, in the middle of it, around 1492, the pathway was laid open. 1492, beginning of 1500, the pathway was laid open for the white folk from Europe to leave from being destroyed and murdered Europe to go to America. Well, North American continent. One country infused into another. Who was here first? Indians were. Who came next? The whites, man. Get out of here. We're going to get killed over here. Let's go over there. That's why they did it. Now, how are you going to get them over there? Well, we got to galvanize them. How are you going to do that? We create an antithesis. And they did, using a 1500s, 16th century. They used a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther and John Calvin. And they created a religion called Protestantism, Protestantism, which caused a conflict of theology. It gave them something to go for, gave them something to fight for, or whatever, to leave for, to galvanize. That's the purpose of Protestantism. That's how significant the dialectic really is. So, you had the Protestantism, which resulted in Reformation, and behind the scenes, Martin Luther was a Jesuit working for the Vatican to create this conflict. Remember they put Erasmus in jail, they killed Wycliffe, killed Tyndale, but not Martin Luther. Just give him forced vacation, exile. But that's forced vacation. They protected him. The Reformation was created as a result of Protestantism, which laid the groundwork for the courage to leave Europe to come over America. That was all, it worked perfectly. Y'all remember here at Jamestown? Here we go. Mayflower. There you go. Prostitute daughters, World Council of Churches. Then the Counter-Reformation resulted, creating the conflict of theology. The Great Harlot, the Vatican II. This all ends at the Gentile dispensation. And the beast will unite with the image of the beast, incarnation of the Pope, apostasy. And what you're going to have is a union of all the churches to stop communism and rule the New World Order. But the final enemy will be an extraterrestrial nature. We'll band together the world governments, because we'll have an outside force that was planned in 1917. It's called the dialectic, Hegelian dialectic. It's been orchestrated all along. You know what Woodrow Wilson said? He said, I quote, "Some of the greatest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of somebody or afraid of something. They know that there's a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." Unquote. JFK warned us about it also. He died for it. Lincoln went against him. He died for it. McKinley, in 1901, was messing around with their financial dealings, going against it. They killed him, too. The Astor family, 1912, and their financiers were also against the system for whatever reason, sinking the Titanic. Actually, this was the Olympic, is what it was, really. That's another story. Look it up. Now you see how significant this really is in our history, in our lives. And it has not stopped yet. This drives everything on the news today. Which brings me to the next point. It's how this applies in our news. Remember, I talked to some of you, now some of you are new listeners, you won't know this, but I'd mentioned this some time ago, over a long period of time, that these flash mobs, you know, where they have nice little violin playing and all that, and Christmas they break out in carols, and everybody said, oh, that's so wonderful and all that. They started their flash mobs a long time ago. Something struck me kind of wrong. I knew that this insurrection was coming. I said, all these things are nice and give you goosebumps and all that. But I said, wait a minute. What if these flash mobs of nice things, was actually being used as models, direction, techniques and methods of recall, organization, to set up the Helter Skelter. Now, I was comfortable with it. I started talking about it on the radio. But I just dabbled with it. I didn't really go in detail. Well, family, I hate to tell you this, but you got to know that they've now escalated it. Because now I got an article that came out recently. It actually surprised me, actually. That this past week, article came out. Quote, teens all over America got into a mall food court brawls this weekend. This past weekend. Reports are that not one, not two, but three malls in Sacramento, Chicago, and Nashville were locations of massive fights this past weekend involving hundreds of teenagers overall. This is the start of it. They used these flash mobs as techniques, methods of recall, organization under our noses. Then once they got it all fixed up, ready to go, they used the same techniques and methods to set up these insurrection that's going to take place. Now, these are practice ones right here. It's just practice right now. Now, how are they going to brainwash our children in accepting the New World Order, in accepting the fake Jesus? How do you think they're going to do it? They got to brainwash the children, the grandchildren of the baby boomers. How do you think they're going to do it? How's the best way to do it? By religion, right? Family, listen to this. And when they bring international rights to the child, where they control your children and they send them to these testing camps, listen to this. Oh, they're sneaky.
Our firm belief is there are two kinds of people in the world. People who love Jesus and people who don't.
However, there's a twist to it.
Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I need you to get serious, serious with God. Say, God.
These are all children we're talking to.
I'm here for an education. I'm willing, God. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you don't open your mouth, the Holy Spirit can't talk. All right, now I want everyone to raise your hands, and we're going to pray in tongues.
Hallelujah, let's do it. Oh, we love you, Jesus. So, kohora shada kahala busi.
What?
Let me say something about Harry Potter.
Listen to this.
Warlocks are enemies of God. And I don't care what kind of hero they are. They're an enemy of God. And had it been in the Old Testament, Harry Potter would have been put to death. Amen. You don't make heroes out of warlocks.
Okay. And it goes on and on and shows them how they're making their little militia there. They put them in camouflage paint and they do presentations of harness, stick fighting, in front of the congregation. Family. This is CIA operations. Brainwashing is best to take the children, turn them into warriors. All they got to do is have Sanand Emanuel, the fallen angel, show up as an extraterrestrial, whatever, which is what they're planning to do. Say, this is Jesus telling you to do this. Go do it. Family, you see what's coming? And now she writes to the child, you can't touch your kid. Child euthanasia, they'll agree, yeah, he's disabled, he should die. Family, this is death education. This is what they're setting right under our noses. They don't want you to know this. This is the dialectic. This is how they operate behind the scenes. But the secret societies don't realize that they will also be targeted as well. I tried to warn them on my broadcast. They got this term called being thrown under the bus. Well, this is going to be thrown under a pavement smasher. But you see, Jesus Christ is in control. He's allowing this to happen. Because we're turning our back on God. We're turning our back on Jesus. Using false Bibles other than the King James. We're letting homosexuals marry, not only in the United States, but also in England and, what was the last one? It's several going on in Scotland. That's right. Scotland's now doing it. So after the brainwashing of Jesus Camp's highlights, I found an article, 28 signs that the U.S. public schools are rapidly being turned into indoctrination centers and prison camps. Found an article. Confirms it. That's why the police are there. Not to protect the kids, but to protect the school from the parents. Sneaking up on you, family. Do a lot of praying. Two-year-old boy shoots his mother in Idaho Walmart. Pulls a gun out of her pocketbook and shoots her in the head. Two-year-old boy. Well, I think I'll talk tomorrow. There's 10 reasons why you shouldn't vaccinate your children. I got a couple reasons, 10 of them actually. The vaccinations have a lot to do. Everything is involved here. Everything is dialectic. Now, tonight, Bible study, almost forgot. Bible study 8 to 9. I'm going to go ahead and go with it. I know some of you might not be there. I'll tape it. Because I know this is that New Year's thing going on, whatever. But I'm still going to have Bible study. And whether it's by myself or whether people are going to show, I don't know. And talk about how Satan is prince of the world. And how to defeat him. We'll talk about how he controls it. And it goes along with what's going on today, actually. Let you all know my broadcast and my Bible studies are played randomly by John Kirkler at highportradio.net. And he does us a favor, does me a favor, by just playing our broadcasts and Bible studies. And it's highportradio.net. He's got sponsors. And he is growing. It's working. And you can check his sponsors out, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And use the sponsors. My website, watchfulforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. Family, I run out of time again today. I got more, a lot more to talk about. To show you how they've got this set up. Satan goes around like a roaring lion thinking, who may devour? Okay, preacher, you tell me that. Exactly how? They can't do that. I want to know exactly how. The scripture is great. But Jesus says, God says, that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, doggone it, give me all the knowledge. Because the preachers ought to know. Well, they're holding back by design. I got a problem with that. In my own little way, I'll expose them until I can't expose no more. Then I'll figure some other way out to do it. You got to keep the high ground that nobody between you and the Savior, just like those bighorn sheep. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And drive safe if you go out and about tonight, 8 to 9. I'll cover Bible study, proving that Jesus is God, and talk about how Satan controls the world, which really kind of ties in with today broadcast also. So that'll be tonight, 8 to 9. And if you miss it, for whatever reason, you're going out to dinner, doing a New Year's, whatever you're doing, it'll be recorded. So you can pick it up later. Or whatever. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 to 6. And again, I'll continue on with other ways they control us and what to stay away from. Good night. God bless. It's your watchman. Signing off.
I am with you every day to the end.